Welcome to another message from Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information on Bridge, go to our website at bridgehelena.com. It is our prayer that this message will help you to connect with God, connect with others, and connect others with God.
What do you think, church? You think you agree with what you're singing? Because here's the deal, you're doing a lot more than just singing it. You're worshiping, and when we worship, it's a lot like a prayer, isn't it? So we don't state things to God that we don't truly mean, that doesn't come truly from our heart. So when we sing a song that says, I know that you are good, boy, we better believe that. We better have confidence in that. We better understand that. Pray with me, Father. Thank you so much that you are a good God. Nothing requires you to be good to us, but it's in your nature and your attributes, and within your love, you are good. Father, you're good universally. You love mankind. You love your creation. You seek that they come to know you through the Son. So, Lord God, I ask you this morning that you will maybe reinvent your church, reinvigorate your church, because Lord, you haven't changed. You still extend that love to all of mankind, but Lord, for some reason or another, the church has begun to fall short. We have turned inward. We aren't extending. We are not going to the highways and the byways. So Lord God, I ask that you infuse us with your Holy Spirit power, that you change us into the church that you need us to be, the church that you desire us to be, so that we may begin to affect this community more. Lord, I pray that over and over and over, but Lord God, there's just a gap in there for some reason. Lord, I pray that every seat in this sanctuary is full, not simply so we can say we have a full church, but because every seat that is full represents a person that is seeking you, Lord Jesus. And that's what our heart's desire is to be that bridge, to truly be that bridge, that means of connection with those that are apart from you. So Lord God, within each one of us, spark a desire to invite people to church, to pick people up and bring them to church. And Lord, for some people, to drag them in to church. But Lord God, guide us. Give us that discernment. Give us that conviction that there's far too many people living a hopeless life. They're living in darkness. They're living apart from you. All that they can hope for is death, nothingness, complete separation from you. And Lord, that's not okay with us. Lord God, it can't be okay with your church. So infuse that within us. When we look, let us not get despair, Lord God, because of how the world is going. But within each one of us, let us have the confidence to say, it is well with my soul. Despite what has happened, beside what I'm fighting, despite what my family and my friends are doing, it is well within me because, Lord, I have you. And that's all that I need. Everything flows. Everything comes from the spring of knowing you. So Jesus be glorified today in all that we do, in all that we say, in all that we grasp at, Lord God, let it be of you. We pray this in the mighty name of our King Jesus. And everyone says, amen. You guys can be seated. Thank you, worship team. Everybody doing good today? Yeah, you guys excited about today? After all, it is Sunday. Kids, are you excited today? Yes. Well, okay, go downstairs and get even more excited. We will be having communion at the end of service, so the kids will be brought back up here at the end. We love having our kids here for communion to teach them, don't we? speaking about teaching and learning and things like that, if you attended the prayer service Friday, I've gotten great feedback from it. Those that were here said that was good, that was impactful, that was neat to see. I think it was. Out of the six stations, we left two of them out in the foyer because I think they're appropriate for this morning and everything else. So if you didn't attend, I would suggest on your way out, check out those tables. One of them is simply, it's a puzzle. It's a blank puzzle. And if you feel like it's important to be involved in church, right? If it's important to have a role in church, to say, hey, I don't just go to church, but I am the church. I want to participate within that. Then you just simply write your name on one of the puzzle pieces, right? And then when all the puzzle pieces come together, it makes one giant puzzle with all our names on it. So I would suggest that you do that. And then the other station is for a big, bold prayer. Some of us forget that we are supposed to be praying those big, bold prayers. We simply pray our little prayers. Lord, help me get through the day, right? Lord, help me get through this week or bring this into my life. It's very, no prayers are little, but it's not that big, bold prayer that can only be accomplished if God intervenes. So I would suggest that you stop there, figure out your big, bold prayer, and then what you do there is there's a bowl of mustard seeds, right? That represents our big, bold prayer. You just grab a mustard seed for each one of those big, bold prayers and stick it in one of those little bags and Ziploc it, and then put it in your Bible, put it in your car, put it in your kitchen, put it wherever you want. And whenever you see that mustard seed, it will remind you that you are to be praying that big, bold prayer, right? Does us good when we get to a point in our lives where we depend on God, but we look to Him in such a way that we believe, God, you can do this. It's not going to get done apart from you. Only you can do that. Those are those big, bold prayers. So I would encourage you to do that. We will probably have another prayer night coming up in the next little bit. We'll probably get through the holiday season and everything, but I think it would be good to have another one and get more people here. Just opens up our avenues to prayer. We have a couple announcements for today. We have the Speed the Light dessert auction following service today. Get your hands warmed up so you can bid that. You can do the nod. You can do whatever. There'll be a lot of good desserts. Please stay for that. It's always fun. If nothing more, it's fun. But it is more because you wind up taking home a tasty treat that probably won't last till Thanksgiving Day, but that's okay too. So that's directly after the service. And then we have moved all our resources to the old coffee cave, which is right across from the sanctuary, and we're calling it our Bridge Resource Library. If you have questions about things, if it's, you know, there's so many different books back there, from marriage stuff to finances to apologetics to so many different categories. There's DVDs, there's just all sorts of stuff. Use that resource place. Sometimes it's just like, man, I'm wondering about this, or I happen to be going through this in my life. Something might help, and it might be back there, so please visit that. Anybody decorating the church, right, this coming Saturday in 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock here, if you want to help decorate the church for the Christmas season, it will be 3 o'clock this coming Sunday. See, we resist it, not Sunday, Saturday. Next, not yesterday, but the next one. We could have decorated it yesterday, but some people come unglued because we haven't had Thanksgiving yet. We want to keep the peace here. So that's why we're doing a dessert auction today. Decorate for Christmas next Saturday. Oh, and then we'll have church Sunday and all of those great things. Now, because of the Thanksgiving, we will not be having any Wednesday night stuff here this Wednesday night, so there won't be a meal, there won't be kids, There won't be adults. I am not sure if the youth are getting together to do anything. If the youth want to, they will meet. Jaden said she's bringing a big jar of dill pickles. So, yeah, I just got thumbs up from her. She is the dill pickle queen. So, youth, you're not kids, youth. If you guys want to meet, just holler at Chelsea, and you guys can meet. If you want giving, we got three ways to give, like always. Give online. You can give on the giving boxes. You can mail it in, bridgehelena.com. We might even be adding a fourth way to give in the next little bit, because that avenue has come open to us. And no, it's not carrier pigeons or anything like that, but it's just, we try to make it as easy as possible. Finally, if you have any seats around you that don't have a body in them, let's fill those seats, right? We will be having a Christmas Eve service. That was one of our most well-attended services last year. There was really no extra seats, and we did a candlelight service last year, and it was pretty amazing. We'll do something very, very similar to that on Christmas Eve. We'll be getting you more information about that. So if you have people in your life that, I call them creasters, not derogatory, but they come to church on Christmas Eve or Christmas and then Easter, they don't necessarily have a church. They may say they have a church or whatever. Sometimes that's grandma's church, just because it is. But if you have people in your life that are open to a Christmas Eve candlelight service, invite them now, right? Let's get prepared. We're going to be here before we know it, so let's do that. What, and then did I forget? It seems like I forgot an announcement. I guess not. Crafts! Crafts is starting to meet again on Friday mornings at, is it 8:30? 9:30 at the office complex right there. Always was a cool thing. So if you have a craft, if you're a quilter, a crocheter, tie flies, if you come here and you go to the crafting and you tie flies, remember the tithe is technically 10%. So if you tie 10 flies, just leave that one on my desk. If you tie 20, that's two. The math is really easy. Unless you want to be doubly blessed, then do a 20%. But not so much with quilts or anything like that. But if you do come to tie flies, I would encourage that. Amen, right? Let's pray and let's get started. Father, thank you once again that we can come before you, that we can convene together and to hear your word, to hear your teaching. Lord, it is so important that we're here in person. Lord, for those who can't be here in person, either because of maybe an illness or geography, Lord God, thank you that we have the ability to do online. But thank you for those that are here this morning. Let us be the body of Christ. Help us to take that mindset. Lord, today, open our hearts, open our ears, open our minds to receive what you have for us. And Lord, allow me to speak what you need me to speak. And Lord God, shut my mouth with those things that you don't need me to speak. And once again, I pray, Holy Spirit, don't let anybody leave today. Don't let them walk into the parking lot. Don't let them exit these doors. Don't let them leave the sanctuary the same way that they came in. And Lord God, that includes the kids downstairs as well. Let there be a change in our lives, a change that the public can see, a change that the unbelievers can see, a change that our family can see. Jesus, we pray this in your name and give it all to you. And everyone said, amen. Amen. If you guys don't know where we're at, we're in this series on the book of 1 John. It has been eye-opening, I think. If you would agree with that, say amen. Amen. Boy, has it. And we're just continuing to walk through it. My intention in the beginning was not to take so long, but boy, God is hanging me up on verses here and there. Last week, we got through a couple verses, and I think it's important to slow down sometimes with the Holy Spirit's prompting, because it's usually things that we need to hear. 1 John is so incredibly appropriate, not just in a historical manner, but it's appropriate for us today. If we look and we understand the things that are going on in 1 John are very similar to the things that are going on in churches today. Now remember, in 1 John, John is addressing the church and those who are in that church but have left that church. He's not necessarily talking about the unsaved people. He's talking about church matters. And church matters still exist today. So last week, we looked at 1 John chapter 2. We were in verses 15 through 17, and we saw John really drawing this very vivid distinction between the world, which we defined as those things here on earth that operate in denial, defiance, or in the absence of God, and God himself. He said, this is over here, and this is over here. This is the world, and this is God. We are not to love the world or the things of the world, because if we do, the love of God, the Father, is not in us. Those are not my words. Don't get mad at me. Those are John's words. I'm just echoing what he is saying. If you have a problem with that, take it to Scripture. Take it to God. I'm just echoing. If you missed last week, I really believe that last week is a message that would be very good for you to check out. We will have the weekly handouts available at the end of the service. I was surprised last week. I came back in last week to see if I needed to add any of the weeks, if we were out of them. We were out of them all, except for there was like two for week one and a few for last week's. But we'll have all 8 weeks if you guys are collecting those. If not, don't grab them. But if you haven't grabbed any, there will be all 8 that are available. Today, as we continue with chapter 2, we're going to get stretched even a little bit more. How about that? Really, in terms of this dynamic that exists between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world, which we really must never forget. We must understand that when we're talking about the world, we have to understand who the ruler of this world is. It's not just the world and it's neutral and nothing. It's the ruler of this world is actually the enemy of God, and that is Satan himself. When we begin to understand that and we think that, we begin to be able to draw a greater distinction between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. Just because you're not serving God and going to church, well, that doesn't mean I'm serving the devil, does it? Well, according to John, it very much does. So let's get started. Today, we're going to read a large portion of Scripture right up front, and then we're going to break it down. And I will say that there is the potential for some confusion today, so we need to keep it within the context of what we talked about last week. So remember that. Remember, you're supposed to be reading the book of 1 John randomly. Maybe it's a chapter here and a chapter there, but don't just rely on Sunday morning. If we only go through 2 verses on Sunday morning, you got to keep that within the context of the entire chapter. So read the entire book. Read the entire book. So let's look at 1 John. We're going to look at verses 18 through 27. Read along with me in your Bibles, Mark, if you want. I am using the ESV translation for this. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, that Antichrist is coming. So now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy Spirit, and you all have knowledge. Flip that slide. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. That's a whole lot of scripture compared to last week, isn't it? It is, but it all goes together so well. So we're gonna break that down. We're gonna start going through that because we need to have a better comprehension, as well as be encouraged to adopt this into our thinking and our understanding, especially how we may associate with other people, associate with other Christians or those who claim to be Christians. Now, up until now, John has been using this letter to present his followers with a series of tests. Through these tests, one can know and be assured that they are in a true relationship with the Father, right? That's kind of where we've been. At the same time, though, John has been addressing his opponents, those who have left these various churches. He was showing how they had failed these tests and really disqualified themselves as disciples of Christ. It's just these tests. This is the test. Now you can choose to pass the test or to fail the test. And John here is just exposing those that have chosen to fail the test. John now is starting here in verse 18, and he openly confronts those who have left and their false teaching by labeling them for who they really are. And we'll get to that in a moment. John exposes their error and lie in denying that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's really the main thing in 1 John, is these people who had left the church, they had denied in the deity of Jesus. They didn't really need Jesus so much. He also instructs his followers with really how to deal with this error and with this lie. Now, wouldn't you agree that these same principles are appropriate for us today? Because we've been around people. We've been around religious people. We've been around spiritual people. We've been around people who claim Christianity, but they've adopted some other things in there. And a lot of times, who Jesus is the centerpiece of all of those things. I think sometimes when we're talking in this realm of who they are and what they believe, I think sometimes we as people, we as Christians, we as believers, we mistakenly use this ranking system to evaluate where false religions and philosophies and other theologies and ideologies should be arranged. Would you agree with that? We sometimes rank things like that. You know, you'd have to say, okay, let's talk about Satan worship. Those that are worshiping Satan. Now that's a bad, we can all agree that that's a pretty bad one. And I would say that Satan worship would definitely, that'd be a 10. On a scale of 1 to 10, I would put it a 10 because, after all, it's so evil, isn't it? What about Buddhism, though? Man, those Buddhists, they're pretty peaceful, right? Yeah, they got the cool orange pajamas and they shave their heads. I like that. They don't seem to be causing a whole lot of problems out there. So maybe if Satanists are here, maybe I'm going to put Buddhists at like a 2, maybe a 3. Maybe. Then we look into Islam. Oh, Islam's on the news all the time. They're doing crazy things, suicide bombing. It's like the jihad thing. They're just violent. They're violent. Could we have a 10 plus? We're going to put them under worse than Satan worshipers. And then we can look at like the New Age movement, right? The Universalist movement. And you know, they're a little bit weird sometimes, but they aren't blowing anything up. So maybe 3 to 4, Maybe a two. I know a couple of them, right? They're nice people. What about a church that doesn't preach Jesus as the only way to the Father? Yeah, but there's still a church in their name. It says church. Sometimes it even says Christian church. And after all, a lot of those churches, they do a lot for the community. They got a lot of social justice going on. They're doing a lot of charity. Can we rank them at a half? Because I know some of them too. I work with them. Let's put them at a half. See, we like to rank different things. But what we must also understand once again is that with God there is no neutrality. Right? There is no neutrality. There is no ranking system. There is no scale. There are only those who acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Son of God, Savior of mankind, and those that deny Jesus Christ as the Savior, Son of God. So keeping this in mind, let's take a look. Let's take a look at verse 18, because verse 18 establishes a lot. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard... Whoop, go back. There it is. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. So now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. What the apostles have warned about, what Jesus has warned about, is now being fulfilled. And remember, this book wasn't written 5 years ago. John didn't do this book 5 years ago. This book was a long time ago. And if he's writing this, how much more worse is it today? It's being fulfilled. Now, from the book of Revelation that John also was inspired to write, we know that after the rapture of the church, the Antichrist, we'll call him the capital A Antichrist, will take power and rule the world. That one that Satan has set up. It's a specific person. But until that happens, we must understand that the spirit of the Antichrist is already present in the world today. And that is why John is saying that many Antichrists have already come. As I was studying and I was thinking about this, reading the scriptures, I thought, well, maybe, just maybe, we should think about it this way. See, the early church, that church that was born in the beginning of Acts, that church that was so passionate, that church that spread so quickly, that church that was full of passionate disciples and believers, they didn't care about getting martyred. They didn't care about where their next meal was coming from. It was all about Jesus. It was an exciting time. That early church was first known as followers of the way. And that referred to Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. So if you would interact with somebody that was a believer, a disciple of Jesus, you would say, hey, are you a follower of the way? They'd be like, man, I am the follower. I am a follower of the way. Now, at that time, their opponents, which were many, right? There was the traditional Jewish people. They didn't like the church so much. The Roman government, they didn't like the early church so much. Their opponents started labeling these passionate followers of Jesus as Christians, right? And they labeled that, and it was a derogatory term. It was a meant little Christs. Oh, you just think you're a bunch of little Christs. You're just running around there doing your thing, trying to tell people about this guy, and you're just a bunch of little Christs. We're just going to call you Christians. What started in disrespect became a title of those who had given their life to Christ. And what do we call ourselves today? After all, we call ourselves Christians. We call ourselves little Christs, right? Because we're to emulate who Christ is. Now, using this same logic, when we talk about the Antichrist, aren't we talking about those who resist or deny Christ in general? Right? Yes, there will be a capital A Antichrist during the tribulation, a specific person, but the spirit of the Antichrist exists now in those who resist or deny Christ. That includes Satanists. That includes Muslims. But it also includes the Buddhist, the New Age Universalist, and the church who denies the deity of Jesus Christ, as well as anyone who has aligned themselves against God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now remember, there's no middle ground. That's John's theme of 1 John. There's no middle ground. You are a follower of Christ, or you are not a follower of Christ. You are with Christ, or you are antichrist, right? Sometimes we just talk about the antichrist and we go, oh boy, I don't know who that's going to be. We try to figure it out, and boy, once he comes, everything's going to get bad. But we got to understand the spirit of the antichrist is very alive and well and prospering in this world, especially in this country today. Let's look at verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are not of us. See, John is acknowledging here that those that have left these churches, those leaders, those false teachers, those followers, those people that wanted to align themselves with the false teachers, and he is now calling them antichrists. They were once regular members of these churches. But he is also saying that they had never truly shared in the beliefs or that fellowship. So I guess, in a sense, what John is saying, just because you might go to a certain church, that does not mean that you believe in what that church believes. Just because you go to a certain church, that doesn't make you a part of that church. Just because you go to a certain church, that doesn't make you the church. See, this group that has left, they had been there. They were sitting down. They were filling seats. Some of them were even teaching. But John is saying now it is evident that they did not believe in the same things that we believed in. It reminds us of Judas, doesn't it? Judas, who had spent 3 years with Jesus himself, but never trusted and believed in salvation, grace, and mercy, only found through Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I read that and I think, how could Judas have been there that long? How could he have been there that long and still done what he did? And then I look within churches in general and think, how could that person have sat in that church for that many years and did the things that they did? Coming to church does not make you a Christian. Filling a seat does not make you a disciple of Christ. Just showing up does not mean you believe in the true scriptures. We gotta take all that in. As hard as that is sometimes to listen to, we got to take that in, because, boy, we like to justify the checklist theology, right? I went to church on Sunday. I'm good. I went to church 2 times this month. I'm good. I filled a seat. I bought a pie at the dessert auction, for goodness sakes. My place in eternity. Amen to that. It doesn't matter, though, does it? You could even say, hey, I came to the prayer night. It was neat. We had 6 tables. Boy, people were writing their sin down and shredding them. That shredder was going crazy. Man, when Jimmy got there, it started smoking, for goodness sake. But that doesn't necessarily mean you have a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's John's point here. It's as though they were with us, they were never a part of us. Because had they been true believers, they would have remained. They would have remained with us. Not because of any person, not because of any program, not because of any ministry, not because of how great the worship was, but rather because of Christ and what he has done within us. That's what makes us the church. And this is the change that separates us from those who have not experienced Christ and surrendered to him. There's a difference. I'm sorry. There is a difference. It's far beyond words. Seen in our actions, seen through our compassion, in our love, and in our heart, we truly desire Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I think I have never seen this stark difference. And I'm going to say, especially within the Apache tribal people, there is such a stark difference. It's like, my goodness, this big Apache dude, he wants to not only beat people up, he wants to kill them, right? He's a horrible person. He is dangerous. Oh, he met Jesus. Now he's soft-spoken. Now he's compassionate. Now he's loving. He's no slouch. If I got a problem going on, I want him on my side. But everything has changed. He is a new creation in Christ. Amen. It's his actions as well as his words. But it's his actions that are making me understand how powerful Jesus Christ actually is. And John's saying, you didn't see this in these people that left these churches. And then John states that it might become plain, might become evident that they are not of us. I think when we get past the big personalities, right? Oh my goodness, that person is so charismatic. They got such a big personality. They want to be friends with everybody. When we get past that, when we get past head knowledge, when we get fascinated with people who can recite scripture, chapter, in verse, oh my goodness, they just must be so holy and so righteous. When we get past all of those things and we begin to listen and look at that heart, when we begin to see fruits in people's lives, then it does become evident that not everybody who comes to church is a true follower of Christ. And there's wisdom within this that can only come from the Holy Spirit. See, every church has the potential to have people who will never truly surrender to Christ. And we need to have the wisdom in these cases in order to protect the health of the overall body. I guess we could say there can be the potential for wolves to come in sheep's clothing. We are all like, man, we got to guard against that. But sometimes it's the complacent, the apathetic that come in. They don't really seek to divide so much. They just seek to complain about everything. It's the separation of the body. We look at the fruit within their life. We think, boy, though you are with us, you are never a part. You've never been a part of us. When we seek God, that becomes evident. This is a very important theology verse and principle for every pastor out there. The pastor's job is the under-shepherd, right? Got to protect the body. Sometimes we just need to protect the body. Our desire is not to cast people out. Our desire is correction, so that those can experience Jesus in a radical way. That's our desire. That's John's desire. It's all these knuckleheads that went out declaring all this false theology. His desire is still that they come to the realization of who Jesus really is. Would they be accepted back into the church? Absolutely, but within the parameters of the safety of the existing church. And that should be our parameters as well. Verses 20 and 21. There it is. But you have been anointed by the Holy One. Amen? I'll read it again. But you have been anointed by the Holy One.
Amen.
Woo! And you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. In essence, John is saying, but you are different. But you're different. You people who have stayed, you're different. You know who Christ is, and you have become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Because of this, you have the fruit of the Spirit, right? should be displayed in our life, the fruit of the Spirit, which a lot of us can list it off, right? But I would also believe that discernment is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Discernment is a wonderful thing that the Holy Spirit grants us. You got conviction, that's what's wrong with us. You got discernment, that's what's wrong with the others. Both of them protect us, right? Conviction says, hey, this is what's going on in your life. You need to change that. Discernment says, hey, that person's not good for you. That person's not good for the church. That person's just not good to be around. The situation is dangerous. Be careful. Discernment is an important thing. Because of this, John encourages them and us here in celebrating what we have in Christ. Because we have the truth. If you have Christ, you have the truth. Verses 22 and 23. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Wow. Some pretty strong words here, but I think they're totally appropriate.
No middle ground.
Right? No middle ground. And it's a question that we cannot and that we should not shy away from. But is that the Christian thing to do? Stand up and question people and hold people's feet to the fire sometimes. Is that the Christian thing to do? I think it's the true Christian thing to do. To be aware, looking around, protecting ourselves, what we see, what we hear, those people that we're around that claim to be Christians, but when we hear what they're saying, when we see their actions, we have to start to go, wait a second, is this the true gospel? Is it in the book? If Jesus and the revelation that he is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, is a representation of the truth, and anything or anyone that aligns itself against the truth is the anti-truth, which is a liar. Remember, you can only belong to the kingdom of this world, who is ruled by the devil, the deceiver, Satan, the accuser, the liar of all times. Man, he is the greatest liar of all times. You can only believe to that or belong to the kingdom of God, which is represented by Jesus Christ. All truth. There's just no other options. That's what we got to come to understand. There are no other options. They say, oh my gosh, what's going on in the U.S. today? We've never been divided as much as we are now. And they say that's a terrible thing. But there's truth to the depth of that statement. We need to be divided more than we ever have. We need to have that understanding that there's the kingdom of God, kingdom of this world. We need to pick and choose which side that we are going to be on. To deny the Father and the Son then by default means that you are an antichrist. This is a serious and fundamentally important stance here that the church needs to re-explore. No middle ground. We need to understand that we are in fact set apart from this world. We are set apart from this world. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. Not in a non-inclusive way. Because God, as well as the church, welcomes all who desire a relationship with Christ. Every single person that wants a relationship with Christ is welcome here. But rather, we separate in terms of our identity. Jesus is who we are. His attributes are what we extend. And his love and truth is what separates us distinctively from this world. Do you guys believe it? We got to re-emphasize this. I'm not saying the church doesn't reach out to everything, but the church does not sacrifice the deity of Jesus Christ to be included in the things of this world, and it's happening all the time. Let's keep going. Verses 24 and 25. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He made to us, eternal life. Now John has shifted really his full focus upon the readers of this letter. Opposite of the Antichrist, as followers of Christ, we abide in truth. We apply those things which we have heard from the beginning, right? We've heard them, we've read them, we know them. We got to be in the book. It's from the beginning, namely the declaration as to who Jesus Christ is in relationship to the Father. Abide in this context is such an important and such a great word here. Abide implies that we live in Christ and His truth, and that Christ and His truth lives in us. The gospel must not only be heard, but it must be elevated to prominence in our life. And within and because of this, we take confidence in eternal life with Christ. It is well with my soul. Though I am in this world, I'm not of this world. Whatever the world throws at me, I have a confidence in Jesus Christ. I have a confidence in my eternity. I have a confidence that I will live in the new Jerusalem that is absolutely humongous. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I wouldn't tell you this. We have confidence in that. If we're letting the world get us down, oh my goodness, the world's got me down, and it's so easy to do. We need to reevaluate ourselves. We need to abide in the truth. We need to rediscover those things that we've known from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Him. The Word was God. And everything that was created was through the Word. It's all about Jesus Christ, our Savior. And that's how we take that confidence. We don't come to church. We don't serve God simply because we don't want to go to hell, right? That's fire insurance. We serve Christ because of what He does within our lives now. See, when we come to Jesus, eternity starts at that moment that you begin to follow Christ. In verses 26 and 27, John gives his readers one more warning, but he also speaks encouragement to them. So 26 and 27. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you, but the anointing that you have received from Him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you, but as His anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in Him. Boy, if I read that, that means you don't need to be here for this portion of Sunday morning. Nobody needs to teach you, right? Well, what was happening is those that had left the church were coming back saying, oh no, it doesn't matter what the scriptures say. It doesn't matter what John, who established most of these churches and have watched over these churches, it doesn't matter what he says. What you need to understand is what I'm about to teach you. Don't listen to the Gospels. Don't listen to the words of Jesus Himself. I have more knowledge and wisdom, so listen to what I am teaching. That's what this passage is about. See, those that had left the church have not only walked away from Christ and the truth of the gospel, but their goal was to cause more to stray too. They wanted to get more pulled away from the true church, the gospel church. They wanted to take over these churches. They wanted to gain leadership in these churches. Man, if you don't see that going on today, right now, with crazy philosophies and theologies trying to infiltrate within different churches and take over their leadership, you got to broaden your horizon and guard yourself against that. They are not only living in and propagating this false theology, but really they're a cancer that will only bring death to those who subscribe to their teachings. John is warning his readers, and I would say us also, so that we can be aware and that we can be alert. And as verse 27 reminds us once again, it's the anointing that grants us the discernment to contend with all these threats against our faith. Are you walking in the anointing? Are you a temple of the Holy Spirit that has surrendered to the lordship of Jesus Christ? John says you have no need that anyone should teach you. That simply means that teaching and revelation comes through the Word, right? The inspired Word of God, those things that Jesus taught from the beginning. If someone is teaching outside of this, it's to be thrown out. Not, well, it's kind of, we could kind of slip it in. We could add it to. No, you throw it out. Which, by the way, religious cults and progressive churches, they're doing that right now. They're adding to. They're removing some things and adding the things that they want in. Abide in Christ and the anointing. Above all, check everything against the Word. Remember, if it ain't in the book, don't give it a look. Amen. This is how we get to and live in sound doctrine. Remember, Scripture will never contradict itself, and that we are to always read Scripture within its context. Too many deceivers and false teachers will try to manipulate Scripture to further their own agenda, picking and choosing and using verses out of context. That's why it's so important that individually, we read our Bibles. We study our Bibles. We know our Bibles. Not just what you get on Sunday morning. This is just like a little appetizer, right? It's just that little meal. It should make you more hungry, not satisfy you. Too many anorexic, starving, malnourished Christians out there. The anointing allows the Holy Spirit to illuminate and to guide us in our study. Every time you crack this book open, you should say, Holy Spirit, illuminate this Word to me, this living Word of God. Help me to understand it through your wisdom. It's not a prayer that he is not going to answer. That's not a prayer that he's going to put off for several weeks. He's going to answer that immediately. Why? So we don't fall into the enemy's schemes and traps. Remember, he's a liar, but he's also the ruler of this world. And now that brings us to verses 28 and 29 and the end, finally, of chapter 2. Right? So, let's see. 28 and 29. And now, little children, love that. Little children, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may also be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. It's a big importance right there. John is making another transition here. He's moving from concern about the false teachers and the spirit of the Antichrist to really affirming these readers within their faith. And it serves us well today. Abide in Christ Jesus and have the unashamed confidence in who he is, as well as his promise to return. When Christ is in us, we have the eyes to see. Those others that practice the same thing that we do, right? Isn't there an instant connection sometimes You can be like traveling out of state. You can be out of the country. And you're like, whoa, this is weird. This is different. I'm not used to all of this. And then all of a sudden, you seemingly see somebody. You don't even talk to them yet. You see them and you're like, wait a second. That's a Christian right there. You ever experience that? Experience that all the time. It's this instant connection. And we just know it. So we take all these things in when we're around others. Things like what words they are using. How Jesus is being referred to. What actions are being displayed. And then we combine this with the discernment of the Holy Spirit. And we get a pretty good idea of where this person's faith is. And then at that point, the conversation takes off in whatever direction it needs to go. I'm not saying that we only seek these people out to have conversations with, but if I go to Home Depot and I get in a conversation with somebody and I'm listening to what they're saying and there's all these extra explicit words and they're just down and all that, I have a pretty good idea, oh, this person's probably not a true Christian, right? Then I can allow the conversation to go where it needs to within that context, right? But then if I'm around somebody else a few aisles over and, oh my goodness, I can hear how they're talking. I see their outlook. Man, it's their physical appearance. This is a Christian person. My conversation goes in that direction, right? We need to understand that. That just doesn't happen at Home Depot. That happens right here in this sanctuary as well. So through our discernment, abiding in Him, the anointing that He grants to us, the Holy Spirit that He gives us, it allows us to evaluate every conversation and take it from there. It is so important to be around other believers. It is so important to be edified by other believers. There is just nowhere in the Bible that says, hey, after you come to me, go away by yourself for your entire life. Live as a hermit. It doesn't say that. Now we know that Jesus separated himself at times to be with his Father, right? But he didn't stay there. And boy, when he came back, he was raring to go, right? So we take the time, we get with God ourselves, but we cannot neglect meeting together. There's a reason it says where two or three are gathered, he is there also. He wants us to commune with each other. Every single day, it seems like, every single week, the connectivity between humans is lessening. I'm not talking about social media. That's not connection. That's people getting on and ranting or bragging about something and trying to get likes or dislikes. That's not communion. That's not coming together. That's happening in a general sense. But it's especially happening here within the church. We're all scared. We're too scared to come to church, or we're too scared to stay, to come to different things. And that fear is not being propagated by God. Rather, that fear is being propagated by the world. We need interaction with each other. If anybody in here can raise their hand and say, I don't need interaction with anyone, then you're going to get a hug from every single person in here today, right? Because we need that. Today as we end, if somebody wants to just quickly run down and grab the kids, we're going to celebrate the Lord together in observance of communion. One of the six prayer stations, it was right here. It was communion, and it was wonderful because I saw some couples taking communion together, holding hands. They've been married 100 years and they're still holding hands. They're taking communion together. It's so important. Some people took it just them and God. It was that time. And that was the goal of that prayer station, was to have this intimate communion time. But communion, it goes way beyond that. So on mornings like this, we can get together. We can have communion together. Not simply going through the motion. Well, it's communion. We're supposed to do it, so I guess we have to do it. No, that's not what we do here. We do communion because God's example of communing together with Him. It's the beauty of the church, right? We are the bride. We're going to have a little communion with the bridegroom. Worship team, if you guys want to come up here. Amy, if you would want to pull that over. I would say this. I'm going to go all the way out on a limb and I'm going to say this. Where we are personally with Jesus has a lot to do with communion, doesn't it? Oh, well, it's funny. I've been there. I'm not like, man, I wasn't always a pastor. Man, I wasn't always saved. I wasn't born that way. I had to make that choice and all that. But boy, there were times where it's like, not really part of the church. Don't know about all this Jesus stuff. But, well, if they're doing communion, I don't want to be the one not doing communion. So it's this like this almost this peer pressure. Yeah, communion peer pressure. Well, if everybody else is doing it, I guess I have to. That's not true communion, right? You know, there's some distinct things. We've got to have our heart right. We don't carry sin when we come to communion. So as I invite you up in a moment, and as we go through this song, this is a time where we get right with God. Man, if you got to hit the altar, you got to go to somebody. Hey, can we pray? Hey, can I ask for your forgiveness? Let's just be right with God. Be right with each other. And then we partake in communion together. That being said, when I invite you up, whenever you're ready, just come on up, grab a piece of bread, grab a cup of juice, but hold it. Just take those elements, take them back to your seat, hold those. And then we will all partake in that together. Now, our only requirement here at Bridge to participate in communion is that you have a relationship with Jesus. Because I don't want to be the one saying, hey, just everybody come up no matter what. Because sometimes, biblically speaking, that can invite sickness into your life when you take communion in an unworthy way. So I ask you to have a relationship with Christ and to participate with us together. Amen. So if you want to bring those lights down, whenever you see fit, whenever you're ready, as we worship together, come on up and receive your elements, and then we will go through those together. Amen. Amen. Did everybody get their elements? Yeah, sound booth. Everybody good to go? Awesome. We've done communion in so many different ways here since I've been here over the last 5 years. Sometimes we do make it very personal. Sometimes we've broken it down into family and friend groups. Sometimes we've made it a lot about the body and communing with each other, and I think those all were appropriate at those times. But for this morning, it's absolutely all about Jesus Christ. We know that, right? It was His instruction. We are following His model. We're following His role. But there's also an importance of being together in this. Guys, we are the church. We've got to make it an effort to be around each other. We need to surround ourselves with fellow believers. It is so important to have that strength in your life, that encouragement in your life, if you currently don't have other believers that you are associating with, people within this church. You've got to do it. You've got to find those people that will walk with you, that will talk to you, that allows the conversation to go in a manner where it's all about Jesus. And that's really this beauty of communion is we're acknowledging both the bread, Jesus's physical body, and the wine, Jesus's blood, right? We're acknowledging those things and we're proclaiming those things as well as Jesus's return. Man, if you can't get excited about anything else in this world, as a believer, you better be excited about the return of Jesus, because it's a coming, and it's a coming soon. And we need to believe that. We need to acknowledge it. When we take this communion through the bread, We acknowledge that his body was beaten for us. He allowed himself to go through that for you and me. And because of that, because of all those things, boy, we have the ability to be healed. I was talking to two people this morning, and two people whose blood pressure was running very high, and it seems as if after Friday night prayer service, their blood pressure for some reason is now running more normal to them. How does that happen? It's because of Jesus Christ. Healing. He wants to give that to us. And the ultimate healing is that relationship with Him. That's that restoration with the Father. That's the ultimate healing. His body was broken for us for that very reason. And then His blood is representation of the new covenant. We can no longer be under the law, under a system that we can never be good enough, right? But because of Jesus Christ, because the shedding of His blood, His mercy and His grace is upon us, and we can now have reconciliation and relationship with the Father because of the Son's sacrifice. That's His blood, but it also points to the return, the imminent return of our Savior, of our Lord, of our King, coming back to rapture His church out of this world. And then returning with Him at the end of the tribulation to watch Him claim eternal victory. So as we take our bread and our juice today, we're reminded of the words that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians in chapter 11. He says this, "For I received from the Lord what I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, He took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Father, we do take this bread this morning with seriousness. Lord God, not underestimating what this bread represents. We do it in remembrance of you. We do it in remembrance of everything that you accomplished throughout your ministry. But most of all, what you accomplished when your body was broken and that death on the cross. Jesus, thank you for all of these things. Go ahead and take your bread. And in the same way, He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant. Amen to that, in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Who has a desire to proclaim the Lord's death until He comes? It's the church age. If you're a Christian and your heart is still beating up in this physical world, in this physical sense, your job is not done to proclaim His death, His resurrection, His ascension, and His imminent return. Father, Lord, thank you for your Son Jesus Christ and everything that He accomplished. Lord, let a passion build within us that we don't look at our day to day as simply Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but Lord God, we look at it as a way and a time to proclaim who you are, your death, your sacrifice, your blood, until either you return and rapture us out of here, or until our days upon this earth are no longer. So, Father, give us that passion.
Thank you.
Holy Spirit, give us that wisdom and boldness.
Yes.
And Jesus, let us glimpse what you see in this city, in this state, in this world. Jesus, be glorified. Go ahead and take your cup. In all these things, we proclaim the beautiful name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, proclaiming it all the time. Nothing can come between us and our Lord, and nothing should come between us and proclaiming who Jesus is within our life, testifying to those that are lost the greatness of who Jesus Christ is. We pray this all in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and everyone shout it out. Yeah. Amen.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10 o'clock a.m. at Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information about Bridge Assembly, go to bridgehelena.com, and we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Jason Metz.